Coming up, my guest is Natalie Christensen, who's going to play some music for us. Her choice. She's our Bookmarks guest for this week. And let's start with her first track before we say hello. And it's A Mantra. Here it is. Got us all very relaxed, hasn't it? Everyone having a lie down now. That's a mantra, which was chosen by Natalie Christensen, who's my next guest. And she was planning to be a music therapist when she went to university. She played the double bass in the National Youth Symphony Orchestra. And then a while later, she started working as a winemaker. And she's now chief winemaker at Yellin's Estate, as well as being an international wine judge and lauded as one of the most influential women in wine. And Natalie is our Bookmarks guest for this week, and she joins me on Skype from Blenheim. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, how are you going?
Oh, I was just having a little lie down there. It was very relaxing, that mantra. Why did you choose that?
Well, actually, this time last year, I was in India, and I was in an ashram studying a meditation course, and we'd start the day with mantra, and that was one of them. But that was obviously the yoga-fied playlist version, not the people chanting. So, yeah, something a bit nicer on the ear.
That was fantastic. Who was it?
A lady called Dev Primal, but, yeah, lots of people do that. It's a very common mantra, so, yeah.
So how was India? It must have been a pretty mind-boggling experience.
Yeah, so I've been to India a couple of times, but basically that time I just went straight to the ashram, and it was the first time being in an ashram in India. And yeah, I did a week of this course called Prana Vidya, and prana is energy, and vidya means knowledge of. So it was a pretty crazy, crazy week of learning about that. And then the rest of the time, it was just general ashram life. So yeah, very interesting indeed.
So that really ties into you wanting to be a music therapist, because that is therapy in music, isn't it? That particular mantra, or any mantra really, and the way it makes you feel.
Yeah, most definitely. There's a lot of, I guess, healing properties and vibration and sound. And music is definitely something that is quite magical, that I think it has powers beyond a lot of our knowledge. And yeah, no, definitely.
Would you put that on at the start of your day or at any time during your day?
I actually play that quite often at work. Sometimes, yeah, if things are getting a bit heavy around the office, I'll put on a mantra and we all have a bit of a laugh and feel a lot lighter.
So, do you?
Yeah.
That's great. So you didn't actually end up doing music therapy. So what happened instead?
Well, when I first went to university, I wanted to be a composer for New Zealand films. And then at the end of my first year, I kind of really got onto this idea of music therapy. And there was a master's program at the time being offered at Canterbury University. But then in my last year of my undergrad, I did this paper in industrial organizational psychology. And I'd been doing all these beautiful artsy-fartsy, eerie things for my university days, and this paper was very business, statistics, and they kind of, had the promise that you'd definitely get a good paying job and something solid at the end of it. So I actually ended up doing a Master's of Science in that, and that's kind of when I went off the music therapy path and ended up in human resources for 8 months, which, didn't really float my boat too much. But that led me to then becoming a winemaker. So, it was all
part of it. Gee, you've really tried your hand at a lot of things. Industrial organisation philosophy?
Psychology.
Psychology, right. What is that again?
It's kind of like the psychology of the workplace. So a lot to do with culture, recruitment.
Yes, I understand that. Okay, got it. And you went to Australia for some time as well, Darwin, I believe.
That's after I left my job in HR. I decided I needed to clear my head for a little bit, and I had a friend who I'd done my master's with, and she said, "Why don't you come up and stay with me in Darwin?" And so I did, and I worked in a bar there, and there was a live crocodile in the bar, and he was known as Red Salty. So I was there for about 6 weeks. And then came back for Christmas and then worked out my next steps, I guess.
And someone's text to ask you whether you play music to the salad wines, as do some international wine producers. That's Sue from Southland.
We do have music playing in the vineyards. So that was something that Peter Yellens introduced. And so we've got classical music sites dotted around our Seaview Vineyard in the Awatere Valley. But one thing last year when I was in India and kind of learning about mantra and the different, I guess, types of mantra and sort of different things they can do, I had this idea that possibly I could potentially change the kind of structure of a wine or change the wine and how it developed through the mantra vibrations. So that was going to be my kind of trial baby going into the vintage that we just had, but obviously we had COVID happening, so that was something that I couldn't really carry out this year, but it's something that I will look to do in the future.
How did you come to work in the wine industry after all those different occupations?
My brother,
or attempts at occupations.
My brother was living in Marlborough at the time, and he said, "Why don't you come to Marlborough and do a harvest? Save some money, go overseas." And so I didn't really know what doing a harvest was. I kind of thought maybe picking grapes or doing something like that. But in 2006, I came to Marlborough and I did my first harvest at St. Clair Family Estate. And I worked in the lab and I loved it. I analysed all the juices, checked all the fermentations. And while I was studying my master's degree, I'd been a volunteer firefighter. I was in Littleton, and So I was very used to pumps and hoses and steel cap gum boots. And so, yeah, the machinery around the winery I was quite comfortable with. And I also had a part-time job working in a wine bar. So I'd never really pieced these sort of bits of the puzzle together. But, yeah, I got to Marlborough and did my first harvest, and then that was it.
And what does a winemaker do? The 101 of winemaking. What do you actually do on a daily basis?
It really depends on, I guess, your role within a wine company and how large your company is. When I first started off being a winemaker, I was an assistant winemaker, and so it was very kind of practical in the cellar, pumping wine around, filtration, doing additions to tanks and things like that. But now my role as chief winemaker at Yearlands, it's a lot of staff management, promotional kind of things, and yeah, kind of more sort of strategic-y kind of stuff, I guess, as opposed to sort of hands-on in the cellar.
More management, like management things.
Yeah, a little bit, but definitely very much blending, grading, and during harvest, a lot of time in the vineyard, out tasting the grapes, making sure they're getting picked when they should be. So, yeah.
What kind of grapes do you have there? All sorts, I imagine.
Yeah, all sorts. Primarily Sauvignon Blanc. Marlborough is synonymous with Sauvignon. So that's our major variety. But we also have Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Riesling, Gewurz, Gruner Veltliner. We also have a little bit of Tempranillo, which is quite unusual for Marlborough. And we have Chardonnay. But one thing I'm really excited about, we have planted some Albariño, which we'll be getting our first crop next vintage. And the reason why I'm excited about that, prior to coming to Yearlands, I was working in Spain and Galicia and Rías Baixas, and that's kind of the homeland of Albariño. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how that variety works for us.
I'm speaking with Natalie Christensen, who's the chief winemaker at Yearlands Estate. And Natalie, you were named one of the most influential women in wine in the world by UK publication The Drinks Business. When did that happen?
I think that was March 2018. Yeah.
Did you get a surprise?
I got a big surprise. I woke up in the morning and I had a lot of messages from, I guess, colleagues and friends from around the world. And I didn't really know what had happened. And they were like, oh, congratulations, this is incredible, wow. And, I got a very big surprise. I was not expecting it.
And what does that influence mean when they say one of the most influential women in wine in the world? What are they referring to there?
I really have no idea. I don't know.
Well, that's great to get the plaudit, though.
Yeah, no, it was a very exciting thing to wake up to. But, yeah, no, I have no idea. But, a lovely thing to be recognised for, I guess. Yeah.
They didn't send you an email or anything?
No, there was no pre-warning. It was just live. And then, that was that. So,
and what did you get for that? Just the title or the being able to use, I am one of the most influential women in wine in the world?
Pretty much.
That's great. And what kind of season is this wine season shaping up to be? Do we know yet?
It's a little bit early to say. It's raining today, but we are kind of heading into the La Nina weather pattern, so it does mean sort of a few more tropical cyclones and stuff during the harvest period, which isn't always ideal, but that has come off the back of two very good dry sort of harvests. So Vintage 19 and Vintage 20 have been very stable and beautiful wines coming out of there. So, it's hard to say yet, but you can't have a great year every year. So, we'll just see what plays out.
All right, on that subject of playing another track, what's your next song that you've picked for us? It's a theme tune. Is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Fantasia?
Which one is it? Oh, yeah, that's
No, Fantastia.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Oh, Fantasia?
Yes, it sounds right. It looks different when you see it written down, the spelling of it. Should we play it?
Yeah, great.
Let's go for it. RNZ National, and the grapes would not have liked that introduction to a classical piece. It was, of course, Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis. Big typo, our end. Sorry about that. A beautiful piece of music and double bass. You play that, Natalie.
Yeah, I don't play it as much as I used to, but I've just got back into it. But, I chose that piece. That was one of my most, favourite pieces when I was at high school. And the last time I played that was in an orchestra, and we were in the Christchurch Cathedral. And, yeah, I just remember it being a very kind of special moment. And, yeah, it's obviously quite different these days. Yeah.
Absolutely. And how long did you play the double bass for? It was something, I guess, you played for your entire life. Do you still pick it up?
Yeah, so I've just picked it up in the last year or so, and it's very different than what I used to do. So I used to play in a lot of orchestras and chamber groups. But I've joined a little band, and we play some covers. So the next piece of music is one of the covers that we kind of play. So, yeah, very different way of playing music and very different sort of genre. But
you joined a little band as well. What kind of band is it?
It's another winemaker. He sings and plays guitar. And then we've got a drummer. He's currently out of action due to a skateboarding accident. He damaged his hand. We'd sort of play our own kind of take on some covers. So, yeah.
You'll have to introduce the band, Natalie. You can't just leave it at that. Who's in it?
There's not much to introduce at this stage, but there's Andrew Brown, who is the winemaker at Framingham, and Dean Aiken, who he's an urban designer. Yeah.
And what do you call yourselves?
Well, that's still up for debate. We were supposed to have our first gig last week, but yeah. With Dean with his sore hand. Didn't quite work out that way.
Oh, I see. So you're still in rehearsal stages?
Oh, pretty much. Yeah, we're still getting together our set, so, yeah.
So I've just got, it's a three-piece, you've got a double bass, guitar. What was the other thing?
Drums.
Drums, okay. So how do you make that work with a double bass?
Well, it's actually, it's quite interesting. So I do a mixture of picks. Pizzicato, which is obviously the plucking, and then I use my bow as well. So, it's quite a different sound, and it's quite cool so far. So we'll just see how we go.
Because we started off the program this afternoon, you do Talking Heads' Psycho Killer. That's one of the tracks you do. That's why I'm a little perplexed as to how you play it. It must sound great with the three-piece that you are.
Yeah, no, it does sound quite fun. It's quite a nice sound. Yeah.
Well, let's carry on with your life, and you made a decision to go and work in Spain, which must have been helpful for the wine business.
That was a kind of a crazy move, but an exciting one. It was 2013, and I was living in Wairarapa, and I was winemaker at Matahiwi Estate over there, and I was talking to some friends, and they said they were going to Spain to work a harvest, and the place that they were going to work for, or the sort of group of companies, were looking for a white winemaker. And I thought, oh, okay, I might put my hat in the ring for that. And so that was a Friday night. On the Sunday, a lady from Spain called me about the role, asked me to send through a CV. And then by Tuesday night, I had the job. I had a month to get there. I had a boyfriend, I had a cat, I had a house full of stuff, and I couldn't speak Spanish. So, I quit my job, sorted out my house and things, and got a private tutor, learnt some Spanish, and then next thing I knew, I was in Santiago de Compostela getting picked up from the airport. And, that was that.
You got a private tutor. How brilliant. And so how long did it take you to grasp fundamental Spanish?
Well, I got there, and up in Galicia, they speak a local dialect called Galego. So, it wasn't that helpful, actually, my 1 month of sort of crash tutoring. But there were some people there who could speak a little bit of English, and the company I worked for did hire a translator for me for the first few months. So it wasn't all bad.
That was good. And so what was the winery like that you went to work for?
So I arrived, and they had just purchased a new winery. They'd been making their wines from a different facility, and basically this winery had been abandoned for a couple of years. So I got dropped off there, and there was no power. There was no running water. There are a few sort of pumps and hoses sort of hanging around the backs of tanks. And yeah, and I was going to get fruit in about a week's time. So yeah, there was a lot to get organized and a lot to figure out. And yeah, it was a pretty stressful but exciting week or so.
Sans cat and boyfriend, I guess you left them behind.
Yeah, I did, unfortunately. But yeah.
And how long did you spend there?
It was on and off for about 18 months. So I did come home for Christmas, and that's when I actually did my first harvest for Yearlands. I was vintage winemaker, and I sort of ran their night shift for them, and then went back to Spain and then did harvest and a few other months there, and then came back to New Zealand again. So yeah, on and off for about 18 months. But yeah, it was definitely a crazy time. I was living in a very small village. It was about half an hour away from the winery, and I was living in a bar. The bottom floor was a bar. The middle floor was where the owners lived, and I lived on the top floor. And yeah, the villagers, like these old men, would come down the road in their sort of makeshift tractors with quite a few missing teeth, some of them, and ropes for belts. There was a lady that used to come in her 90 who was a bit crazy. It was quite a colourful collection of locals that would frequent the bar.
Did you learn a lot about winemaking, or was the experience more the lifestyle experience?
I learned a lot about the region. So, and a lot about sort of wine styles that are there. But I guess I was there for my expertise. So,
You already knew. You were teaching them.
Wow. Basically, the whole idea with the company I was working for, they were one of the biggest importers of Spanish wine into America. So they wanted new world winemakers making new world sort of style wine with the old world grapes of Spain. So, yeah, it's kind of what they wanted.
All right, well, let's play another one of your picks. And this is the one that you play, one of the ones that you play in your covers band that doesn't have a name. Perhaps we could suggest some for you while you're on today. As long as you don't go for the winos.
I guess definitely not.
No. and so we could, yes, what should Natalie, what should they call their three-piece covers band? You haven't done your first gig yet, but where is your first gig going to be?
Well, it was actually going to be at a Pinot Noir conference in St. Arnage last week. That was going to be a nice, gentle kind of crowd for us. But yes, I don't know. I'm not sure. Something next year. So, yeah, don't know yet.
All right, we'll ask everyone if they can come up with a name for you, and we'll send them on to you. You might be able to choose. Linda has texted to say, please get Natalie Christensen's band on, Psycho Killer on double bass. I've got to hear it.
Well, no, the piece that's getting played now is not our version of it, unfortunately. So we haven't recorded anything yet. So, yeah.
All right. Well, no, I'm going to play another track that you play in your band, and it's The Violent Femmes.
Yeah, that's one of our other favourites, yep.
So how many in your set? You know, how many songs in your set list?
We've got probably about, probably working up to about eight now.
Yep. Eight? Great. Yep. All right, this is Violent Femmes and Kiss Off. And just imagine it as a three-piece, guitar, drums and double bass.
Someone, a person to talk to, someone who care to love. Could it be you? Could it be you? Situation gets rough and I start to panic. It's not enough. It's just a habit, a kid, you're sick. Well, darling, this is it. You can all just kiss off into the air. Behind my back, I can see them stare. They'll hurt me bad. Do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it all the time.
Do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Do it.
that this will go down on your permanent record. Oh yeah? Well, don't get so distressed. Did I happen to mention that I'm impressed? One, 'cause you left me, and two, two, two for my family, and three, three, three for my heartache, and four, four, four for my headaches, and five, five, five for my lonely, and six, six, six for my sorrow, and seven, seven for no tomorrow, and eight, eight, I forget what eight was for, but nine, nine, nine for lost God, ten, 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 ten. You can all just kiss off into the air. Behind my back, I can see them stare. They'll hurt me bad, but I won't mind. They'll hurt me bad, they do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
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 Time, 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 time.
RNZ National with Violent Femmes and Kiss Off. And Natalie Christensen is my guest today. She's a chief winemaker at Yellin's Estate. Natalie, that one must be pretty easy to cover because it does have an upright bass or double bass in it, doesn't it, in the same lineup?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty quick and pretty tricky. But, yeah, no, it's a good one to play. Some nice sort of beats and rhythms through there. So, yeah.
You could play the entire Violent Femmes catalogue, in fact, you three.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe we could look into that. Yep.
Yes. So the upright bass, it's the same as the double bass, isn't it? It's a different name for it?
Yeah, yep.
Great. Yep. Wonderful instrument. It must be a bit too heft about the place, though, get from A to B with it.
Yeah, most definitely. I definitely got my driver's license very young. Well, not very young, but when you could, as soon as you could. So, yeah. And I always had the smallest car possible, but I'd always fit it in.
Just sit it in the back seat, not on the roof.
No.
So how did you come to work at Yellin's?
I was back in New Zealand for a bit for Christmas after being sort of in Spain for the first time. And I was sorting out some visa things. And it was taking a while for the visa things to get sorted. So it actually coincided with a harvest in New Zealand. And, I got asked if I could work harvest at Yellin's as vintage winemaker and sort of run the night shift for them. So I did that, and that was in 2014. And then I went back to Spain, and then they asked me if I could do a similar thing the next vintage. And so I did come back to that, and so I did the 2015 harvest. And, yeah, from there I got a permanent job, and I've been there ever since. So, yeah, that's kind of how that all came about.
Got lots of band names coming through for you.
What, really? I'm
yes.
good.
Yes. I'll read a few for you. Vintriarch.
Oh, great, yeah.
Harvest.
Mm.
I quite like this one. The Mark of Vues.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christine says, how about the Vintners?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about this one. Duvets? Not sure that's got anything to do with wine. And here, the Pinot Trio. That's from Hillary in Wellington. Jeff says the Corks. David says the Wineskins. And Mike says the Plonkers.
I like the Plonkers. That's a good one.
Yeah. I'll gather them all together for you and we'll send them on to you and you can choose the best one. So if you'd like to choose a name for Natalie Christensen's three-piece, do you do vocals?
No. So the guitarist, Brownie, we call him, he is the singer. So, yep.
Okay, so if you'd like to choose a name for the three-piece, they're up for using your name, and the text number is 2101. And we're coming up to your final song for today's bookmarks, and it's the one that we started with and that everybody wants to hear you as a three-piece doing, and that's Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. And do you like Talking Heads particularly, or just the fact that it fits well in your covers band?
Yeah, no, it was just... Yeah, just a song that came to us that we thought would be quite a good one for the instruments we had available. So, yeah.
Oh, well, it's been great talking to you and learning a bit about your life, and also about wine, how you deal being the chief winemaker at Chief Winemaker, Head Winemaker. What's your official title at Yearlands?
Yeah, the official is Chief. Yeah, it sounds a bit, I don't know what it sounds like, but yeah, it is Chief Winemaker.
Sounds great. And thanks for introducing us to some of your music. Got some wonderful feedback about the mantra and your choices. So great to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's 3:05. So let's end with Natalie's last choice. And it is Talking Heads, Psycho Killer Live.
To the facts, I'm tense and nervous, can't relax, can't sleep, bed's on fire, don't touch me, I'm a real live wire, psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est, run, 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 run. You can't even finish it. You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, why say it again? Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Woo!
It's Psycho Killer from Talking Heads, and it's a cover that Natalie Christensen, the chief winemaker at Yulin's Estate, will be covering in her new band that you're helping choose a name for. Such great suggestions. The Purple People Eaters. I love this one. K-Sarah-Sarah. And you can imagine how the Sarah is spelt. Gareth says the violent ferments, and Hamish says the fruity bass notes. Lana says for the band name, the Grape Seeds, and Vetus, species name for a wine grape. That's from Shona.